Hello, and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks, Claire. It wasn't a great video. Let's just give a shout out to Olivia and Isaiah for that. Yeah, we want NECA to have a microphone. We have an awesome panel, and I'm going to introduce them in just a minute. They're going to have the opportunity to share with you guys this morning. But I just wanted to, you know, that video just totally shares our heart here at Antioch Fort Worth. We are a family that loves the generations. We love pouring into different generations, and that is seen. There's many of you out here that weren't on the video that are spiritual moms that I'm looking at right now, and many that were spoken of. And so we just want to say thank you that we live in a culture here at Antioch that loves discipleship, that loves mentoring, that loves mothering and fathering each other. Isn't that great? And as we just enter in on Mother's Day, I know this can be, it can be a lot for many people. Maybe you love Mother's Day. Maybe your expectations are here, and then you end up at the end of the day, and they're down here. Maybe you lost your mom. I know we lost my mom several years ago, and so Mother's Day has some mixed emotions. Or maybe you want to be a mom, and you're not a mom. But wherever you are, God wants to see you this morning. And we started several years ago having mothers share and preach on Mother's Day. And it didn't matter who shared through the years, I always hear at least one, normally several people say, you know what, I'm not a mom, but that message was exactly what I needed to hear. Or I was a mom and that message was spoken specifically for me. So I just want to encourage you as you're sitting there and you're like, I'm not a mom, well, I'm here on Mother's Day. God has something for you to speak through these women. And the reason I believe, I pray before I do panels, and I feel like God highlighted these three women behind me, and part of it is they are signposts to Jesus in their mothering. And as we've been studying, those who have been with us through the study of John, we've been talking about how we want our lives to be signposts pointing to the risen Jesus. Just like Aaron talked about communion, the resurrected Christ. And these women do that. And, you know, even in the book of John, as we have been studying, Mary is just a perfect example of this. She basically bookends Jesus' ministry. And as a mom, she calls forth his gifting. She sees the miracle. She knew what he could do. She'd seen him doing stuff in their home and around, maybe not publicly, but she had confidence when she said, we need wine. This is a wedding. I'm calling forth you. And he was at first, he was like, my time hasn't come, right? But yet she knows her son, and she calls for something, and we see Jesus come under and bless his mom in submission, that God was doing that. That's a beautiful picture. And then we see, fast forward, Jesus is on the cross, and at his deepest need, emotionally and spiritually and physically, he looks down and he sees his mom. And in his deepest, darkest moment, he sees and loves on her and says, this is your son, John, and John, this is your mother. And so even Mary has pointing her life to Jesus, and these women have done that. And so I'm going to get off. I'm not even on this. Well, I'm on the stage. I'm not going to get off the stage because I'm going to join them. But I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to introduce them. I'm just excited. Y'all give them a hand. Right, sorry. And I just want to frame this. This is like we're having coffee. We're just talking about life. And sharing your story can be vulnerable. So just keep that in mind. If you've ever been in front of people and shared your story, it can be really vulnerable, but it's so powerful to hear people's stories. You're going to hear stuff from them this morning. You're going to be like, I had no idea. Oh my goodness, that makes so much sense. I understand her better, or that is so encouraging to me. So as we're going to get started, I want you guys to tell me your name, how long you've been at Antioch, and the names of your children, and we're going to have awesome pictures that are going to be behind them as they introduce themselves.
Hey, Antioch. Good morning. My name is Snekai Jerry.
Woohoo!
I've been a part of this family for 2 years now, and I have three children. You know, my husband and I have three children.
Nice. That's a great picture. Yeah. There you were in Antioch t-shirts. That was not planned.
It was not planned. We don't get to be together and take pictures all the time, so it was cool that, you know, we had this. But we have two birthdays next month. So Junie is going to be 22, Tex will be 20, and Lohi will be 17. Lohi's already 17.
Hi, guys. I'm Ashley Pagankoff, and we have been here. I've been in Antioch for almost 18 years, and my husband's probably been here a little over 20 years. We have three girls. We have Emmalyn, who is 12 years old, Averly, who is 10 years old, and Maylee, who is 7 and a half. She would want me to add. She's 7
yeah,
and a half.
Make sure you add the half. It's very important. And that was not taken in Texas, I don't think. Yes, Lake Tahoe, which we all want to go to. Yes.
My name is Carol Roberts. We've been a part of the Antioch family for 4 and a half years. And we have six children. JD is 31. His wife, Sawyer, is 30, our grandbaby. Austin is 29, and her husband, Leif, is 30. And Maggie is 26, and her husband, Logan Stretch, is 27.
Many of y'all know Maggie and Logan. They were part of Antioch, and they have moved away, but we love them. And that was at Maggie's wedding.
That was at Maggie's wedding with James Albright. It's a fabulous day.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for introducing yourselves. I'm going to say a prayer as we get started. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity for these women to share. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you to highlight to each of us, what you want us to hear this morning. Open our eyes and open our ears to hear you and to see you. Amen. All right, so that was what we talked about. We're going to see how God uses mothering to help us see the risen Jesus and see his faithfulness. And so we're going to start with NECA. And as we've been talking about this, NECA, tell us one way that you've seen the risen Jesus through mothering.
I mean, when you've mothered for 20 plus years, it's hard to say, to name one way. But, you know, I would say this, we don't ever encounter Jesus and remain the same.
Amen.
The change could happen instantly, but the change could also be a process. And sometimes when you're thick-headed like me, it's a process, a long process. But I would say throughout the process, you know, just the Lord has been present, you know, he's been steadfast. But we tend to see him more when we feel inadequate. I have seen him more in my inadequacies and places where I felt weak. You know, you think of Paul saying, you know, to be able to say when I am weak, then I am strong, is because we have weaknesses and we have difficulties and the Lord was present. And then we get to see him there. So he has been there, and, you know, I'm grateful to have seen him through all of it. But I thought to share, personally, I've always been very performance driven. You know, culturally, we're very performance driven. So it's something that, of course, showed itself in my mothering. And it
really
could work with one child.
All of us, right? Performance-driven mothering.
You know, it could work with one child or two, but sometimes it doesn't work with, all three of them. So, you know, with my third child, you know, we kind of, you know, she started having some struggles that even though we were in healthcare, felt just very inadequate in how to approach it, you know, with, you know, kind of just mental health issues as she went into the teenage years. But some cool things happened. Not only did the Lord meet me in places that I felt like, you know, when prayers drive you to your face, you know, and you don't have anything else to do but end up on your face, God shows up. But then he also shows up in various ways, you know. Even before this started going on, you know, the Lord had Junie, her older sister, praying for her. You know, before we even knew that, you know, she would have any challenges, you know, it's like, oh, God has been having me pray for Lohi. And it was so cool to see that as we walked through the journey, I remember this day, because I saw the process happening. You know, I felt like, hey, you know, the enemy is attacking her, you know, there are lies that are being believed, and you're mad at the enemy. But sometimes our flesh reacts and you want to, you know, your flesh shows up, you know, in the way you interact with your child, which is not really what the Lord would want us to do. So I remember this
day. That never happens to any of us, right? You know what you're talking about.
But I remember this day I was, I don't even remember what I was upset about, but I was mad, like going up the stairs. Like it was one of those days you're going up the stairs telling the Lord, I am sending this child back to you. And Junie met me at the top of the stairs and was like, Mama, let me handle it. And she's like, the Lord showed me a picture of what Louie has been going through. Let me handle it. And, you know, it's humbling. And I remember stopping and like, okay. And I turned around and walked back down. Mm. So even though the change did not happen instantly, throughout the process, like, the Lord has helped us walk through it, but then he's also changed me. For someone who's so performance-driven, we're looking at the outcomes and we will celebrate the outcomes when we get there, he's made me an encourager in the process. I'm walking with my child, who is an amazing encourager. I have learned from her on how to encourage. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to encourage myself. I've been able to encourage them back. But also, I've also been able to encourage the body.
Good. So good. That's so good. We can all relate to at least something you said, right? And even if you're not a mom, you can relate to everything, right? Let's talk about that. Okay, so we're going to jump down to Carol. And Carol, can you share with us some general themes that have risen to the surface in your experience as a mother that have transformed you into looking more like Jesus? And can you also relate to being a spiritual mother? I know that that has been an impact in your life. You have been mentored by many, and you mentor many. And talk about that, maybe.
Thank you for asking me to share. And thank you for giving me a few weeks to consider what the Lord would have. As I reflected over my 32 years of being a mother and talked to the Father about the general themes that have transformed me, the recurrent themes that continued to take me back to his promises and his faithfulness, I had time to think about the 32 years of detail, but I'm going to keep it to the general themes. And the general themes for me have been unexpected loss, deep pain and suffering, and trauma. I realize that Dan and I have only been a part of the Antioch family for 4.5 years. And most of you don't know our backstory. But as I look around this room and I've come to know your stories and the stories of the Word of God, they are the same from the Old Testament to the New Testament. As we're transformed into image bearers, deeply loved and met moment by the good Father. You asked me to relate the themes to my experience of being mothered spiritually and having the opportunity to mother and mentor others. Since it's Mother's Day, I want to start by honoring my own mother. I realize that we each have our own journey with our mothers as sons and daughters, as well as our journey in the body of Christ with spiritual mothers and fathers that we've been blessed with. Shaping influences that have been meaningful and encouraging and rich. My mother was widowed at 35. My father was killed in a tragic hunting accident, and I was 10. My mother chose to live the purpose-driven Rick Warren motto. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. She modeled a life of service and love. She championed and encouraged her 3 children and her grandchildren. One of them's here today. I'm blessed by that. And she launched us well. In the early 80s, I left home and I went to Vanderbilt University. And I was blessed with a spiritual mother through the college ministry program. Ben and I had a chance to talk about the power of that ministry. A beautiful woman who intentionally invested in me and is still a vibrant part of my life. She taught me to study the Word of God, the value of memorizing Scripture, and she was a fierce prayer warrior. We spent years around her dining room table reading books like Brother Lawrence and Henry Nouwen and other foundational books on faith, marriage, and parenting. One of my favorites was Shepherding Your Child's Heart. Some of you in the room that are older may have read that. It was cornerstone for me, and it was a rich season of my life. As I left Nashville in 2000, we went to lunch, and she said my time would come to pour into other women, to look for opportunities to invest and share my authentic story to encourage others. Another specific influence was Rose Barton. Some of y'all may know David Barton and Wall Builders. I fell into her family room in Aledo, Texas, in an intercession group when I was in deep need. She modeled humility, surrender. She was a fierce prayer warrior and a woman of deep faith. I'm grateful for Pam Smith in the room. Kim Miller introduced me, I think, on my second time visiting. I invited Pam into my home. We shared our hearts. We prayed. And she invited me to be a part of pre-service prayer. Thank you for inviting me and investing in me. As I reflect on the opportunities that the Lord has given me, I think about different Bible studies I've had the privilege of leading, meeting with women, and mentoring intentionally one-on-one. Like each of you in the room, because I've gotten to know many of you, looking for opportunities and assignments from the Lord. I'm grateful for the high value that the Antioch family, both in Fort Worth and beyond, have on discipleship and mentoring. Through Thrive and Reengage, the discipleship school. It's been a privilege to be a part of the women's ministry. Thank you all for asking me to be a part of it. And the women's mentoring program. I've had a chance to spend one-on-one time with some women here, and it's been a rich exchange. A friend of mine gave me a scripture a few years ago for my birthday from 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It says, "We loved you so much that we delighted to give you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." So I want to encourage you on Mother's Day, whether you're a man or a woman, or whether you're young or old, new graduates, we got to celebrate Joa last night, to look around the room, whatever that room is that he puts you in, and look to those that are further along to disciple, mentor, and encourage, and know that your story, it doesn't matter how old you are, is valuable to mentor and encourage others.
It's good, Carol.
So thank you for asking me to share and reflect. It was rich.
So good. I love it that we live in a culture, we breathe a culture right here in Antioch, where we have men and women calling us out, that everybody has a story. Whether you're 12, or you're 80, you have a story, and someone needs to hear your story. All right, Ashley, we're going to move to you, and just share with us again this theme of how you've found Jesus in your journey of mothering.
Yeah. So when Lindy asked me what a theme was that's come up, it's going to sound sad. It's sorrow. Right before I got pregnant with Emmalyn, I had a miscarriage, and I was young, and it was an early miscarriage, but I was really, really undone. And at the time, I was reading Oswald Chambers' book, My Utmost for His Highest, And I read the words, if you receive yourself in the fires of your sorrow, he will make you nourishment for other people. And that has just become very paramount in my life. And I remember thinking, man, if I have to have sorrow, and I wish I didn't, I'm gonna figure out how to be in this so that maybe on the other side of it, I can help somebody else. Good. And since then, the Lord has allowed me to feel sorrow many times over. And the last 8 years have been really a lot of that. And I'm not going to go into details, but a few things is we had a scare of a miscarriage with our youngest, and then she was a NICU baby. I had a bout of steroidal myopathy in 2017 where I couldn't walk or move for over 2 months without pain, significant pain. And it lasted for a long time, it felt like. We had the death of our first family dog, which is very sorrowful for my kids and me. It seems simple, but these were like little losses. An unplanned move and renovation of a home, which has its own thing. We had the death of two of my grandparents, my kids' great-grandparents, which was really hard. The death of a very close family friend and brother that many of you knew. Friends having new medical diagnoses over the time. We've also had a pandemic that then I had to parent my kids through trauma and anxiety. And then recently the sorrow of watching one of our own kids suffer. And I think that there have just been so many losses that have happened over and over, but I feel like I've had the opportunity to tell my story and the story of loss and experience sorrow, and I've showed up differently than I would have without those experiences for other people. And I think then you have kids, and you have their sorrow, and you carry their sorrow in ways that you never knew that you would. And that was something I had not known. But what I have learned is that sorrow is a part of the kingdom coming. And I would not know the kingdom without knowing the things that were so very, very far from the kingdom. Mm. I think that Jamie was probably the first person to give me language into the kingdom coming and heaven breaking in. And that's been a huge part of life for us. The Lord's Prayer has always been really, really impactful in my life. I grew up Methodist, and we said the Lord's Prayer every week at church. And I knew it. My granddad used to use it to encourage me, and I use it to really shape my prayer time. But when my kids were little, I would rock them at night, and I would pray, Lord, please let their bodies be on earth as they would be in heaven. I want their body here to be like the kingdom, like right now. And that's a big prayer. And I work in pediatrics, and I work in an ER now, but I'm a child life specialist, and I've seen very well how the world can touch your kids and how painful it can be. And I have had multiple times where I've looked at the Lord and said, please don't let that be my story. I don't want that to be my story. Please don't let it be. And that has not been our story. The world has touched our kids, and we have experienced their bodies as not kingdom here on earth. And I think I've learned because of my sorrow and through the sorrow of my kids that you just can't pray away your story. The Lord absolutely promises that we will have sorrows and trials here. He promises it. And I've come to believe it's not the exception. I believe it's necessary. And if it were necessary for Jesus, I think it's necessary for us. And he felt sorrow to his very core in the garden before the cross, begging the Lord to take away his cup. And I believe that he has done that. I feel like he has shown me that taking away that cup is not something that we need to be in our sorrow. We need to feel it to its very core. And we can't have resurrection without that sorrow. Mm. And that's super hard. A lot of the things I mentioned to you guys at the beginning have happened around Holy Week or Easter. If I could go down the list, it's kind of weird. And they've happened all around that time, and that's been really difficult. But I also spend a lot of time at work watching the sorrow of other moms and dads and just really wanting them to not feel sorrow also. And in that, I've learned to pray for miracles. And I have prayed and prayed and prayed for miracles for people over and over and over again. And I've now begged the Lord. I mean, I've been in trauma rooms begging the Lord to make a dead body come alive. Lord, please do it. And then I've begged the Lord for my own miracles recently. And what I have found is that in the sorrow and in the grief, it's that his presence is often the miracle. Amen. And that's where I found him in that. And so it's through all those sorrows that I feel like I've seen a resurrected king. And that's all I have to offer my kids in the midst of their sorrow also, is the presence of God, that he's with them. He's Emmanuel.
So good, Ashley. His faithfulness is with us in our circumstances. I think sometimes we look at other people and go, well, I wish that was, you know, I wish I had that one, or I wish I had that way that God was using to bring his kingdom in my life. But if we would take hold of our stories and acknowledge them and know that God wants to use our story in our circumstances that we probably didn't choose for his glory. Beautiful. Beautiful. So Ashley, can you just expand a little bit on, you kind of mentioned it, but what are some ways through really deep hardship the Lord has met you guys?
Yeah. So we did have a circumstance this last year with our middle daughter, Averly. But before I tell that, because Lindy wants us to talk about faithfulness, so I'm going to go back to the summer of 2020 and 2021, because I think it kind of shows the faithfulness of God. We traveled to Alaska to see Ross's parents. That was summer, pandemic summer, and second pandemic summer. And we traveled to see them because they were going to be leaving that area. And Averly decided that she was going to pray to see orca whales. And a lot of the kids in the room have heard this story, but they didn't know the significance, and neither did I at the time. But she prayed and prayed and prayed, I want to see orca whales. We tried to say, keep your expectations really low because that might not happen, but pray. And so we really encouraged it, but we also were like, just keep real expectations realistic. And so we were there, we're leaving this little cove. We'd been there for several days, and Ross sees multiple sprays from whales kind of over in the distance. And typically when you see a humpback, you only see one spray. So my father-in-law made his way over to this area, and there was a pod of orca whales, two babies and his mom and dad. And we were undone. Like, we couldn't believe it. I mean, we got to watch them for like over an hour, and we go to the top of the boat, and I look at Averly and I've got like tears, and I'm like, Averly, like, God hears your prayers. Like, don't forget this moment, he hears you. But my mother-in-law looks at her, and she looks her right in the eye, and she says, this is a moment that you're never gonna forget. I want you to remember this moment forever. There will be a time when you will need to know that God is faithful, mm-hmm. and this will be your moment. And she has remembered that moment. And we have all remembered that moment. And we saw orca whales again in 2021, not expecting it, also with tears streaming down my face. So fast forward to 2022, and we have a picture of orcas on our wall now, and I walk by it, and the Lord reminds me of it. But in 2022, we began the year with my oldest daughter just really struggling with sleep, and things were really hard in our home. We had never really struggled with a kid who didn't sleep, but here we were, like 11 years into parenting, and we were tired. But we were coming out of that fog, and my middle daughter had a seizure. And I'm just gonna kind of look at this because it can be a little hard for this part. But she had had a seizure only after a couple of months of complaining of mild dizziness. I'm throwing water at her. We didn't know it was a seizure, but we wanted to have somebody take a look. So we went to the doctor, we started running tests. But then on April 2nd, my grandfather, the girl's last great-grandfather, died unexpectedly. We had just seen him 2 weeks before. And we're in the middle of all this medical testing. The last text I have from him is him asking me how Averly's doing. And on April 7th, Averly had her first MRI, and we found a brain tumor. And then we had my granddad's funeral on April 8th and 9th, right following that. And I was just overwhelmed. I didn't feel like I could tell my family because we needed to grieve. We needed to get through my granddad's funeral. And so I kept it in all weekend, and it was really, really hard. It was probably the most physical grief that I've ever known in my whole life. And so we got through that, and then we told my parents that Sunday after the funeral, and then Averly had a second MRI on April 11th, and we found out that she had a glioneuronal tumor, which is a low-grade tumor, and that it was causing her seizures, and later found out that probably all of her dizziness had been seizures. And so she had another longer seizure, and in that time, Carol, who had walked through her own story, Summer Cox, people were walking through, and spent a lot of time on the phone with these people. Like, you will find the Lord in the people sitting right next to you. And so we started a 5-month journey of figuring out what we were going to do, and the Lord really they told us here in Fort Worth that it was an inoperable tumor and that they didn't recommend doing surgery. But by the grace and the mercy and the orchestration of God, we got second and third and fourth opinions. And all of those people agreed that it really needed to have surgery. And so we ended up in Tennessee, in Memphis, and with an incredible doctor, an incredible human who did a surgery that was 9 hours, and her tumor was removed. And she has small residue tumor, and she's followed by St. Jude's now every 3 months. We're watching the small part, and she has no seizures, and she had right-sided weakness. They were very worried about how things would be on the other side, and she only has a right toe that she can't feel, and that's it at this point. So we are so grateful. But in that time, the Lord was so good to us. Mm. And I think I go back to the very first time we found out about Averly's tumor. Ross and I met with the doctor, and we tried to keep things as normal as possible because my granddad had just died. And so we decided the night that we found out about it that we would go to Olive Garden because that's my daughter's favorite place and they think it's real fancy. And so a friend had given us some money, and so we went to Olive Garden. And I'm like, it's not as fancy as it used to be. But we went, and we had a really good time, and we were a mess. I mean, Ross and I were just a mess inside. And on the way inside, I heard the Lord audibly say, the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
And I was like, man, that is weird. I haven't heard those words in a really long time. So later that night, Ross and I were sitting on the couch trying to breathe. And I said to Ross what I had heard. And he said, hey, I just want you to know I heard that same verse. I haven't heard it in years.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And so that has been paramount to us. You guys know that verse. I'm confident of this, that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Be strong, take heart, wait for the Lord. Another quick thing is I remember standing in my kitchen and I was worshiping to raise a hallelujah. If you've never heard that song, you should look up the story of how it came to be. But I'm worshiping and I was really not okay. And I had a moment where the Holy Spirit met me and I'm crying out, like I've said before, please don't let this be our story. Don't let death be our story, Lord. I don't want that to be our story. And immediately the Holy Spirit fell on me and I just started saying, okay, Lord, no matter what, no matter what, even if death is our story, I will praise you. I will choose you no matter what. I will do it. And that changed everything. I could eat again. I could sleep again. It was huge. It was a huge moment. And I could tell you multiple moments where the Lord showed his presence. And mostly it was through the tears of other people embracing our story. That was huge for me. But I really believe to my core that you cannot know the truth of no matter what until you walk through the sorrow and grief. You have to go to the grief part. You cannot know the resurrected Jesus without the cross. There has to be the cross. And we don't earn resurrection. I didn't earn our story. I didn't earn it. Resurrection is the gift of himself. And so it's in the surrender that we are promised himself. And I would say this, that I've learned that the goodness of God is not in healing. It's in the encounter with him. And the resurrection is not healing. Resurrection is the presence of God. Resurrection is that he lives and that he lives through us and that through us he lives for other people. And I do know that he heals, but I also know many times where he does not heal. And I would say this, that in the healing and in the not, he is the miracle. And Amen. The miracle is not the change in our circumstances. It's not that Dr. Klimo got 99% of Averly's tumor and that it's not an aggressive cancer. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that in our story and in every story, it's Jesus and it's him. And so, yeah.
Amen. Thanks, Ashley. That's so true. Yes. Yeah. Testimony, the Lord, his faithfulness. Carol, you're next. Give us a story of how God has been faithful in your journey as a mother.
You know, when you do these panels, you're given this whole time frame, you know?
They are given a time frame.
So I'm going to say on the front end, the story is not short. It's long, like each of yours. The short version of our story is that Dan, my sweet husband, had a dream to move our family from Nashville to Texas, to pursue the Western music opportunities and to raise our children in a ranching lifestyle. So we left our Tennessee farm with Stephen Curtis Chapman's Saddle Up Your Horses blaring in the radio.
Saddle Up Your Horses.
Dreaming about life in Texas. Do y'all remember that song?
Aging myself.
It was great. 6 weeks later, we found ourselves as permanent residents, not of our lovely Texas ranch, but of Cook Children's Medical Center, crawling through the valley of the shadow of death. Our 6-year-old daughter had been diagnosed with a massive right parietal lobe brain tumor. She had an emergency craniotomy. She developed meningitis, a seizure disorder, and then devastatingly relapsed 2 years later. We were given little hope. God met us in our darkest hour, day after day and month after month. The Christian community and my family took my other two children in like their own. My mother quit her job and moved into our log cabin to create peace in our home. And the Aledo Public School, which I had feared, rolled out the red carpet for my homeschooled children and loved them so beautifully. God met us a million other ways in our time of need. God was faithful to use my pediatric oncology experience at Vanderbilt Children's Medical Center and the rich relationships that Dan had cultivated in the country music industry to part the Red Sea and make a way for his story. Our daughter Austin was flown to UCLA Medical Center in California. She was the first pediatric patient to receive what was then called the intraoperative MRI, where they opened up her brain and they used an MRI scan multiple times to ensure that they got the entire tumor. And they dissected that remnant tumor off her motor cortex, saving her speech and her motor skills. She went on to play college volleyball. Again, Dan had a dream to bring that technology to Fort Worth, Texas, to Cook Children's Medical Center. And for the next several years, we watched him use us in his beautiful story to build, I didn't think I would cry. I've told this story so many times. To build the Jane and John Justin Neuroscience Center that is world renowned. Several years ago, they flew Austin in for a story. The Cook Children's team that I've grown to love was doing their 1,000th surgical procedure.
Wow.
In the intraoperative room, with Austin's portrait on the wall and Garth Brooks's black cowboy hat mosaicked on the floor underneath the operative table. I am not kidding you.
I love it.
And I did ask permission, but I didn't get a response. It was a real blessing to see you play in the worship band, Elijah. Mm-hmm. The story again is not 4 minutes long. And the faithfulness of God, in my opinion, is not that Austin was saved. As much as Dan and I have been blessed with a front row seat for the last 23 years, watching God in his faithfulness do more than we could have ever asked or imagined. And we have felt him carry us
and others between his shoulders, healing far more than the physical things. Mm-hmm. And we watched him in his proper place, offering peace when there was absolutely no peace. And he used the loss and the pain and the suffering and the trauma that I spoke of earlier to change us and to give hope. And more importantly, we saw so many people come to saving faith in Jesus Amen. Christ as their Lord and Savior. So of all of my mothering moments, that is unquestionably when I've seen the true faithfulness of God, and I am grateful.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Amen. And as you pack these stories away, you will come back to this story. And honestly, I knew both their stories, and Carol has ministered to some. We've had brain tumors this year in our church, and God has been so faithful to meet so many families and their stories, and Carol has been able to use, and Ashley, their stories to encourage other families. That's how it works, is he uses our hardest, our broken times, and he redeems them, and he blesses other people. All right. Neka's going to bring us home with kind of shifting. And obviously, Ashley and Carol talked about prayer and connecting with the Father. But Neka, just why don't you end our time with just sharing how God has taught you about prayer and intercession from being a mother?
I would say if, and I'm sure y'all will agree with me, if raising kids does not make you a prayer warrior.
Something wrong. No, I'm kidding.
I would say, I'm glad you mentioned prayer intercession, because I would say two things I've learned from the process, praying versus interceding. You know, I think of when my children were younger, I would say I did more of praying. And, you know, prayer can take whatever form. Sometimes prayer can be wimpy, you know, oh, Lord, please, you know. Sometimes prayer can cause you to stop. Sometimes prayer can drive you to your knees, and sometimes it can make you hit your face on the ground, you know, just depending on whatever is going on. But intercession is different, and I would say as the children were younger, it was more praying. But intercession, it's like an intervention, you know, where asking the Lord make an imprint on someone else's heart.
Like
we're
that.
Standing in the gap. It's what the Holy Spirit does for us. You know, you think of it, say the Holy Spirit, you know, intercedes for us in our weaknesses. Sometimes we groans that words cannot express, according to the will of God, you know. Mm-hmm. And in intercession, we have to do the same thing. You know, you can't be selfish when you're interceding, because then you're praying for the will of God. You're asking God, make an imprint of yourself on this person's heart.
Amen.
So I would say as the children grew, it, you know, when they hit the teenage years, you start interceding more than praying.
Yeah, you do.
And I can tell you with each child, I remember when it happened. Because, you know, it was one of those moments where you're like, okay, Lord, I don't know what else to do. And you think of Peter telling Jesus, to whom do we go to? Mm-hmm. And you're on your face saying, Lord, make your imprint on this person's heart.
That's good.
But then also remembering, just in the process of encountering Jesus, that as much as the change can be immediate, it can happen right now. They can actually hear the Lord call. I remember one of those moments, like just praying for my son, and then I got up and there was a knock on the door, and he walked in the room and he was like, I heard the Lord call my name. And, you know, to come to you. And this is why we're going through different struggles with him. So it could be that, or it could be a process. Just the same way he works in us, trusting and believing that, the same way he works in us, he works in them. That the change could happen now, or the change could be a process. So I may not see it, but I will call it out. I will encourage it, mm-hmm. and I will believe what he says. One verse I've been holding on to, I like to use the word aggressively these days.
She's aggressive in prayer, just saying, I know.
One verse I've been holding on to aggressively these days from Isaiah 52, that all my children will be taught by the Lord, mm-hmm. and great shall be their peace.
Amen.
Now, what I will be looking for is peace, but I will believe that the Lord will teach them. And teaching, you know, you don't jump into school and start learning algebra, you know, the teaching will be a process. I will believe that the Lord is working. I will encourage, I will pray, I will walk in faith. Mm-hmm. And I will look for their peace, because great shall be their peace.
Amen. All right, y'all give it up for them. So we are going to land this plane with some ministry. So if you're on the worship team, come on up. And I've asked these women to be part of our ministry team, so you guys can go ahead and come, go down. Why don't our ministry team go ahead and come up, and you guys can stand up. We do this time at the end of our service because we believe that if we pause and make space to acknowledge something that the Lord is stirring in our hearts, He's going to meet us. And so I love ministry time. I have been set free from things, from just admitting I need help. I have been encouraged. I have received words of prophetic words, just a certain prayer that I needed at a certain time. And so I just invite you this morning, no matter where you're at, that this is a time for you. We're just going to spend a few minutes here. We got amazing people here that want to pray life into you. And so I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and then we're just going to open it up. Lord, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that your presence is here. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you come in this moment, and whatever stirred in our hearts from this message, how you've used mothering for these women, but how you use so many things to stir us to see the risen Jesus. So we ask right now, Lord, that you open up heaven. We ask heaven to come to earth right now and things to be made right in our hearts. Amen. So just come on up and get prayer. It can be about anything that was shared or just about life in general. Maybe you need a physical healing. We have people up here that have walked in authority in believing that God heals. So come on up and get prayer.